What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. In case you haven't heard of us, we're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. If you're new to the show, please, we hate to beg. Come on, man. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us a rating. Give
Just
us a review.
Through.
We love it. If you already listen to the show, we appreciate you so much. Thank you. Today is Twitter Tuesday, which means we're going to be taking questions live from the audience. We go live every single Tuesday right around 1:30 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, you know.
That's at Locked On Clips. If you ever want to ask a question but are unable to tune in on the stream, go ahead and hit us up at any time during the week on Twitter. That's at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at Locked On Clips.
We're on all of them.
We love to hear from you. So we had some people who sent in some questions beforehand. Thank you so much for doing so. We got some interesting stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about the Patrick Patterson situation. We're going to be talking about other possible free agent targets, maybe. And then there's some interesting questions coming up, including one from Coach Greenberg, which is if you guys could pick one player and one skill that he's proficient at to add to his bag, what player and what skill would you choose? Which I love this question.
It's
one of my favorite Twitter Tuesday questions. So we're going to be getting into all of that and more. Keep those questions firing off on the live stream. And if you're listening, hey, just listen to the answers.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. So the biggest actual story we have so far is that Patrick Patterson intended to sign with the Clippers.
Which, what does that mean?
No idea.
It's like, oh, I'd like to play for a team that is in championship
contention.
Gonna
win a championship. And then there was a video came out, and he said that it was all kind of just rumors, and that it hasn't happened yet. So
the signing has not happened. We are aware, Patrick Patterson.
Yeah. Yi Lin Yang asked, this is a very fair question, what's going on with the Patrick Patterson situation? I remember someone saying that we would sign him after he got waived, but thank God we didn't do that. Everyone's pretty psyched he's not signing with the team, seems to be the clear theme I've noticed.
Yeah, I don't know, you and I have both discussed it a little bit ad nauseum, so we're not going to go too deep into it here, but I never really saw the advantage of a fit. I guess some defense, maybe.
Someone on the stream is saying hallelujah to not signing Patrick Patterson, so we had that.
He said he's focused on his camp, like his children's camps or his close friends.
I have a thing where I think this was, so we all know that the Clippers front office doesn't leak things.
Yeah.
We don't know who we're signing until the day they're signed.
So 100% this was never going to happen.
So this was probably never going to happen. And I think this was his camp or something putting a thing out there. The same thing that Dwight Howard's been doing, the exact same thing Melo was doing on his jump interview, mm-hmm. of just listing teams you kind of want to play for
and
when
see,
asked about good teams.
Just throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. Side note,
yeah.
When are we going to be big enough to have a camp?
Never. I will never have a camp.
If you guys want to join the camp, get at us on Twitter after the stream. We'd love to have you.
I just think it's funny because this kind of virtue signaling is such a funny thing to do because it's not how any actual organization works. No organization is going to be like, we were never signing Patrick Patterson. We were never even thinking about it. And then his camp mentioned it in an interview, and we were like, oh, damn.
He's interested?
We forgot about that guy.
We could have Patrick Patterson?
Yeah. Like, I don't think that's not how our organization works at all.
I agree. And I think it's also funny because I think the opposite a lot of times ends up happening.
It just doesn't work.
They give these lists of teams, and then generally it's either to mask the team that they really want to go to, mm-hmm. or like they just don't end up going there. So, yeah, I don't really see the value in leaking it from a camp's perspective. Other than, I guess, just to get your guy's name out there. Like, I mean, that had to be the biggest Patrick Patterson news you were going to hear all summer, right?
It's more articles about Patrick Patterson than I've ever read.
I mean, we devoted at least 30 minutes to him at various segments on this podcast. So, you know, shout out Patrick Patterson's camp for the good PR moves.
Someone was commenting that a lot of it was maybe just a rumor started because him and Paul George are friends. That's another very good explanation for maybe what happened, is that this was just a manufactured thing because him and Paul George are friends, but who knows. This goes into a great question from Redondo Mike, a.k.a. Yeah. OG Jordan's 85 on Twitter. Fantastic names, by the way. Do you think the Clips have another target in mind after Patterson said he's signing with the Clips is just a rumor?
Okay, so just on this topic, just to fakey, LL8080 on the stream is saying that he would be fine with Melo coming off the bench for 10 to 15 minutes a game, which I already think that's a gross overestimate of maybe how much
he
could contribute.
You want him to play more than a quarter?
But LL8080 did add that Doc could help Melo, and I do think that that's fair. I think that this team and organization does find a really good way of like making people fill in a role The question is I mean, the same as it has always been, is Melo willing to accept that role? Like, is he willing to make concessions a la Lou Will or other guys on the team? And then I just don't think that his numbers would ever be that high, and I think that that would be hard for him too. Like, I don't see a scenario unless we're giving up on developing some of the younger guys
and
or
defense.
Yeah, and
as a whole,
him getting a whole lot of time.
How many points would he even average?
It's so
seven.
Like, it's so hard to judge what his production would be too, because I mean, on that second unit, he's not having the ball in his hands.
He's not having the ball. He's not going to be getting rebounds.
Yeah.
He's the third option, maybe the fourth option on the second unit if Shamet's playing on the second unit.
For sure.
If the second unit is
the third string. He's not really even like a key member of the bench as the team would currently be constructed.
And his net would be terrible, which isn't the most important thing.
Somebody said he'd average 5 points while giving up 20.
Exactly.
So what are there any other guys that you think though are out there that would be of interest to the Clippers? That's all that we're devoting to Melo, guys. I'm sorry, but like that, we got to cut it off there.
Joakim Noah, I'm not mad at that.
No, we've harped on this again and again. I'm fine with the Noah signing. I think that'd be really good.
He just provides, of all the guys who are still available, it's like him and weirdly kind of Dwight Howard provide one of the things we kind of need, which is a little bit maybe more shored up interior defense and some really solid rebounding numbers we can get from a third string guy. Not anyone who's going to like explode or anything like that, but someone who's going to give a bunch of effort and pick up some of the slack on the third string just because it's the third string.
Yeah, definitely.
Someone is saying, a couple people have said Iggy, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Not unless he's bought out. Sorry.
Yeah, like
we're not trading for it. We don't have anything to give up for him.
It doesn't seem like he's going to get bought out either. A lot of people saying Livingston. I think Livingston provides less than Melo. I don't know if that's a hot take or not,
spicy.
But I think he provides less than Melo at this point.
I kind of would have to agree. He's looking pretty cooked.
And if he played more minutes than Melo, he'd be taking away from developing somebody.
Yeah, definitely.
Which would be terrible. That's
the other thing is, like, at the guard spot, I don't really see a whole lot of value in an addition.
Not at all.
Not without there currently. I'm not saying that we have no room to improve.
Someone's asking.
But with what's out there currently.
Someone's asking if we talked Jody Meeks yet. He just logged on. That was a name that I saw thrown around. And I guess, I don't know, I'd be okay with it. I'm not super mad at Jody Meeks, but I just don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. How old is he?
Maybe. 31.
That doesn't seem too over the hill for the Clippers.
Averaged a meaty 6-2-1.
He played 8 games last year. Like, yeah. I don't...
Bring back Luke. I wish, man. I just think that it's... I think athletically he's not in it.
If Jody Meeks could actually be a playmaker, that'd be great, but he's averaged 1 assist for his entire career.
Yeah.
Which seems to be, if we're not going to get a big who's going to protect the paint, it seems like distributor is what people want. And those aren't really available right now.
It's not. Like, Jeremy Lin also...
It's not our fault, but...
Jeremy Lin is also not that player. He's averaged 4 assists over his total career.
Someone on the stream is saying, Luka Mbamute or Wes Johnson. Hey, you know what? Let's just run this thing off a cliff. How did Michinow look at Summer League? Someone is asking. Bad. He looked bad.
D-Mish.
There were multiple clips where, like, Jerome would be open in the corner and Michinow would just... try some terrible floater. There are a few games where he almost fouled out in the summer league, which is 10 fouls.
10 fouls.
Which is really hard to get. He does not look good. He looks like he's a summer league guy. I don't want him on the team. Lucas Hahn, whose birthday I think it is today, happy birthday, loves David Michinow, so maybe he'll get him. Chenny John had a funny question. Should the Clippers still consider getting Patrick Patterson, even though it's just a rumor?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Resounding no.
So we have 2 roster spots open. Someone's asking, yes, still 2.
In the absence of Patrick Patterson.
Yes.
R.I.P.
Since those intentions didn't work. We still have 2 roster spots open. And I said this, I think, last week or maybe a couple weeks ago. I'm personally fine with us staying Pat with this 13.
Yeah.
Plus our rookies and stuff. Like, I don't know who we necessarily add who puts us really over the edge, any closer to over the edge than we already are.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one out there.
This is a segue, but someone asked, who's the first statue at New Arena, Ballmer or Lawler?
Lawler.
It's Lawler for sure.
It's going to be both. It's going to be a statue of Ballmer with Lawler on his shoulders, just hands up after we've won the chip. Jonathan Gee 1 is saying, I'd just take Howard to see how he is as a backup and vet presence. Yeah, him and Noah fall into that same camp. I guess I like Noah a little more because he's not as much of a rabble-rouser historically in the locker room and something like, and whatnot.
Gotta bring Collison out of retirement.
A lot of interesting takes. And it's funny because we're getting a lot of funny players sent for who should the last two roster spots be.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of okay with a lot of these because it is the last two spots. We have so much depth. Look, you can always have more depth for sure, but when the talent pool is this shallow right now,
I still don't feel like it is at the five. I feel like either Noah or Howard, like those are good. Like those are contributing additions. I feel like to a team, and I could be wrong, but especially with Noah, I just feel like you're not even risking any of the locker room stuff that maybe comes with Dwight Howard
for sure. There's not a lot of young guys for Noah to like rub the wrong way with his big vet energy or something like that. So I think it works well. That was my only really thing was if we kept a young guy, maybe they'd get annoyed by Noah, his hair and his free throw shot and everything like that.
Somebody tossed in there that just make Howard and Noah play one-on-one, winner gets the spot. I like that.
I'm fine with that. Twos only, so it's only from behind the arc. So they really got to work on their shooting. Coming up after
bring Courtois back.
Dude, we got the shirt in the back. Coming up after this, we got some more Twitter Tuesday questions from you guys. All right. Welcome to the second part of Twitter Tuesdays.
Yeah. Somebody asked a great question. Do we think the Clippers rebrand? I mean, I think it's a yes.
At some point. Right? I got a bunch of ideas.
I don't think the name changes, but I do think that
John Cooperman is asking on the stream, is Mann occupying a roster spot or starting in G League? He's on the roster right now, baby.
He's got a
four-year contract. That man is firmly entrenched on this roster. We got a great Gallo question.
Yeah.
So at LAR Way, frequent watcher of the show, we appreciate it, showed us a Gallo interview where he said, next year is his free agency, that he would privilege a team that can fight for the NBA Finals. So his question was, should we re-sign Gallo? Mm-hmm. And my question is, are we even going to be able to re-sign Gallo?
So
should we? I think we should start with that.
I mean, should we? To me, it's a resounding yes. I think especially...
If we don't have to lose any... If we roll in with 13 guys and we end the season with 13 guys, why the hell not?
I just think, though, like, the defense for him is more than covered with the additions that we made in the summer. His production... Like, if Jermichael Green starts at the four, Gallo is, like, a better offensive player. Like, just resoundingly.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
And he's, like, an 18-7 guy. I don't think that we can afford him. There's no way that a guy like that makes less than 15 a year.
And I think someone's going to, if he goes through another year without getting his hurt in any way, he might get a pretty big contract offer next year. It would be a good fit, but, I mean, he'd have less responsibility, way less responsibility.
Yeah. If the Thunder did buy him out, like if that was a scenario they were interested in, it doesn't really benefit them at all, so I don't know why they would. But if they did buy him out, that'd be cool because, he could sign a vet min to come with us, and we'd be cool.
Dude, a vet min would be a dream, but...
Oh, he would be a great addition to the Blazers. He would be great for last year's Thunder.
Chew on
that for a minute.
Dude, that hurts. Going with this, Clipper Mitch added... out of nowhere, maybe this is the same account, I don't know. Would you trade for Gallo now? Maybe Mo Harkless, Magruder, and a sweetener like Robinson. I like Harkless and his defense, but I think Gallo's shooting and ability to get to the line is needed.
Nah, we can't give up three players for one at this point. We have 13 guys on the roster.
That brings us down to a cool 11.
And I like Gallo a lot. I would love to see him back on this team. He was personality-wise one of the favorites. Great locker room guy. But no, we can't give up that much. Also, Harkless is so young, not really a bad injury history.
No, 26.
Yeah.
And he's got, 7'3", 7'4", wingspan?
Yeah, big wingspan.
We can mold him into just being the defender.
Only thing he can't do is shoot the three.
Which is fine on this team, pretty much.
On this team, it's fine.
Yeah. Someone's asking if Gallo would even come off the bench. I think for the Doc, he would. I don't think for a lot of teams.
For Doc, he would, but if we had him, he would be in that starting lineup.
Oh, really? What's your starting lineup with Gallo?
Starting lineup with Gallo would be Pat, Pat, George, Kawhi, Gallo, Zoo, or Dwight Howard.
I'm not mad at that. That's a pretty fun lineup. That second unit's nasty as hell with that, too.
Well, that's the thing. Putting JaMychal Green on the second unit only makes that second unit
with
better.
Shaman
putting
and
Landry Shaman on the second unit, that's insane. That's the best bench, like, by far.
Someone's commenting on the stream, let's wait till free agency 2020 and bring SGA back. I've seen that floated a lot. But that man is going to get the rookie max extension or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah,
he's
going to
get it.
Unless we lose one of Kawhi or Paul George, I don't see it.
Or unless the Thunder really massively destroy his development.
Oh, man.
Which we hope doesn't happen.
I guess Chris Paul's going to be there. Who knows?
Goddamn. Ross L., a.k.a. at ClipperFan559, has kind of an absurd trade in mind.
Yo, hi from Italy. What's up?
Oh, what's up? Before the season has even started. In my opinion, if we have a trade this season, it should be to upgrade at the four. Paul George and Kawhi play the 2 and 3. Who would you target? I thought of Aaron Gordon as a sneaky potential target. Harkis and Jerome plus the 2021st.
Not enough.
What do you think?
Nah.
I don't think they do that.
It's not enough because they, I mean, like, what
no
else?
One's good on the match.
What else do they have going for that franchise? It's Vooch and Gordon, and they don't really have a whole lot to move forward.
Yeah.
Without those guys, I mean, those are their only All Star guys. So that's not enough. I don't think that's a big enough trade to incentivize them at all.
I don't see how Gordon fits on our team.
I like
worse Blake Griffin as what he is, kind of.
I like the fit actually of JaMychal Green better than Aaron Gordon. I mean, he just spaces the floor so well.
Yeah.
He has continuity with the team.
Can Fee play center? Someone asking. Fee can definitely play center. It's just I don't know how much he's going to.
Yeah.
Miles Turner is a name that's been floated before.
We don't have the ammunition to trade for Miles Turner.
Any big player that we have ammunition to trade for is a lateral move at this point. You know, if we get Miles Turner, we're probably trading away Shamit.
We're trading away a lot of depth, and I don't.
And a pick.
I don't think that the.
Just evens out to being a little worse off than before, I think.
Yeah, it's just another situation where you're going three out, one in, and regardless of how good that one is and you're getting, I mean, it's not enough. Okay, someone's saying trade for Seth Curry. You know what?
In a heartbeat.
That's fine.
In a damn heartbeat.
Yeah, whatever you need. What do you want?
Yeah, damn right we should trade for Seth Curry. I want to
call George for Seth Curry straight up.
I kind of want to touch on this thing. So many people send us these big trade splashes
mm-hmm.
for the team currently. We haven't even watched these guys play.
No, not at all.
We have a better roster than last year.
Yeah.
Straight up. We mm-hmm. just do. We haven't even seen training camp yet. We've only seen right. And people still want to make some trades. Guys.
I mean, it's fun to think about, guys.
It's fun to think about. But we got.
I'm saying opposite of Chuck. Keep them coming. Let's do it.
We got to see
Let's
what's
reconstruct
going on
this team from the ground up.
Before it's even started, guys. Now, I just want to see these guys play. I want to see more Rico Hines runs vids. I've been bummed
Definitely.
Out we haven't been seeing that. But yeah, there's just been some crazy fan stuff floated out.
I'm in support of it. I'm 100% here for it.
John Cooperman is asking, when does training camp start in Hawaii? Absolutely no idea, if I'm being completely honest. Also, great that training camp's in Hawaii. The only better place to go at this time of year, weather-wise,
Alaska.
Is Hawaii. Okay, god damn it, this guy. Someone's asking, is Bogut a free agent?
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
He's still available.
But no, man, I don't.
I'm actually not that mad at it. I think that it's interesting from...
I don't think he'd ever come to the Clips.
I don't know why he wouldn't, but...
Played for the Warriors, and he got his ring fitted for his middle finger. He seems like the kind of guy who would, like, hold a weird team grudge.
I guess that's fair.
is he Bogut versus Boogie? Yeah, I guess I would take Bogut in that situation. I don't know.
One less ruptured Achilles, so...
So he's got that going for him, which is nice. Coming up after this, we got some interesting Kawhi and Paul George questions, as well as a great Coach Greenberg question that we'll highlight later. Want to make sure to give a shout to the Himalaya app, where you can...
Summit the mountain of pod.
Welcome to the third segment of Twitter Tuesdays.
More Twitter Tuesday.
It's all day, baby. Thank you guys so much for doing this in the offseason. It makes Tuesdays a lot more fun for us. Clipper Chris asked a really good question. When looking at Kawhi and George, who benefits more for playing with the other? Great question, Clipper Chris. I think Kawhi actually benefits more playing with Paul George than Paul George benefits playing with Kawhi. Not a knock in any way.
That's interesting.
I think George is really good at deferring. He had to in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
He went from being the man in Indiana to really just having to, you know, no matter who you are, you kind of got to defer to Westbrook.
Yeah, I think the court of public opinion would probably say that Paul George has the most to benefit from having the finals MVP. But I would be inclined to agree with you. I think that Kawhi benefits the most. It takes so much pressure off of him. Plus, you know, George can contribute so much on the other end that it really, you know, frees him up to, I mean, not hang, but like he has to expend.
His version of hanging, which is still damn good.
Yeah, he has to expend a little bit less energy. And also, I mean, like we're talking about a third runner-up MVP. I mean, either one of these guys is going to be complimented by the other just by the style of both these players. And I wouldn't be saying that. I can't think of another duo that I would be saying that about that, like, mutually benefits as much as these two guys.
Yeah, like, I mean, Westbrook and Harden is going to be fantastic offensively. And defensively, Harden is going to be great in the low post.
But I still don't know that they...
I think you're right. Kawhi and George are better. And it really comes down to it's the best teammate either of them has ever had. Like, at the times that they've been on their respective teams, it's the best teammate you of them has ever had.
Lou Will still taking a last shot. You know what? All day.
Someone on the live stream riding
you
for
damn
Lou
right.
You damn right he's taking the last shot. No, that's a great question. I might say it's a wash. I think they both benefit.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, so symbiotic that it's hard.
It works.
It's hard. Yeah, it's kind of hard to judge a winner.
They both benefit more than they've ever benefited from having any other teammate.
Yeah.
Ever on their team.
Yeah. And I think even with, like, the Harden Westbrook thing, I don't necessarily think that those guys' skills are so complementary to one another that it's, like, as much of a compliment.
Yeah, like, if Harden is down to just really shoot a lot more, I think it is, but I don't think he's going to be down.
Well, it's also just, I mean, that's also just by, like, nature of the Rocket system. Like, in an ISO heavy system, nobody is really benefiting anybody all that much.
Yeah, it's the ISO system, like, in a nutshell. It's just, you're benefiting the team kind of if you can score. All right, let's get to this great Coach Greenberg question.
Yeah.
If you guys could pick one player and one skill that he's proficient at to add to his bag, who would you pick and what skill would you choose? What are you going with?
So I have two.
All right, dish them out.
All right, I guess the first one for me would be Landry Shamet, being able to create off the dribble and B, just get to the line more.
That'd be nasty.
That's
a good call.
So of all of his shots, the majority of them obviously are assisted. I think 95% of his three-point attempts are assisted, which makes sense. I mean, he's not stepping back from three. I'm not asking him to be that good at creating off the dribble. But even his two-point attempts, around 80% are also assisted. And he sees a lot of dips in his field goal percentage when it's really close to the basket. Like, his two-point percentage dips to, like, 37% within 3 feet of the basket. So, like, just being able to create more after the dribble, handle the ball, and finish around the rim. I realize I'm saying a lot more than one skill, but I'll boil it all down at the end. And then just being able to get to the line, too, would be huge for him. It just adds another dimension to his game. But I would say overall, just that, and, like, even taking people off the dribble, like I said, he's probably not stepping back, but even from long two range, if he could cut a little bit and take someone off the dribble there. It's weird because his two-point percentage craters between...
It's so bad.
Between 16 feet and three-point range, so, like, the longest of twos.
16%.
Which is it's an inefficient shot. Like, so I can't fault him for that. It's an inefficient shot, but, like...
16%?
And he was shooting even those shots at a 40% clip when he was in Philly. But for whatever reason, granted he took way less of them, but he shot those,
at a 16% clip.
At a 16% clip. So overall, just him adding some sort of game off the dribble. And I think that will tie itself into getting the line a little bit more.
For sure. Because you're inherently driving more, theoretically.
You're moving with the ball a lot more. So I would say, just some sort of cutting game. Maybe even just some, like, he should just be talking to Lou Will about adding more fakes to the game.
Yeah, like, that's a good call.
And then my other one would be Jamichael Green getting the line.
When Gallo was out and we had Green starting and out there a lot of the times, we were definitely missing Gallo getting the line. Gallo won us a bunch of games just by deciding to get to the line. That's 100%. A super good point.
And, like, he was a great shooter for us, Jermichael Green, and he was decent at the two-point game. He finished 51% of his field goals from two-point range. But once again, 0 to 3 feet drops to like 30%. We saw him get blocked a couple embarrassing times. 3 to 10 feet, he's at 11%. But yeah, so just like cutting out those shots maybe and just replacing that with drawing a foul, I mean, it'd be way more effective. In his time last season, he drew a total of 42 fouls. On the entire season.
That's like Avery Bradley numbers. Remember when Avery Bradley went 6 games without a free throw?
Yeah, and so he averages like less than 1 free throw attempt per game. So I think if he could just get to the line, I mean, if he could get to the line 2 times per game, I would just see a huge increase. I mean, I think that...
That increases his gravity, too.
I think if he sees no increase in minutes and no increase in any other part of his game, if he just added that wrinkle, you're looking at, instead of averaging 9 points per game, you know, he's averaging 11, 12. And that, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a huge difference.
But 12, 6, and 2 off the bench is pretty big.
It's also a 30% increase in scoring, which is like, that. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, that's MIP numbers right there. For what I would add, someone commented Kawhi, they would add elite passing. I would add elite passing to Paul George's game. Paul George is a really good ball handler, and if you added even Shea, and then maybe not Shea, when Lou's really feeling it passing-wise, if you could add that kind of ability to Paul George, like, if Paul George could put up, I don't know, 7 or 8 assists a game with
his
current
game, that'd be unreal.
It'd be unbelievable. He'd be such an even more complete player. It'd be great. And then... I guess for the other one I would add would be elite defense from Trez.
Yeah.
If you added more comprehensive overall good defense where he could maybe, you could put him on 3 through 5.
Ooh, I think that's asking a lot.
It is asking a bunch. But the 3's the maybe, but like the 4s and 5s you're comfortable with.
For sure.
The 3's are kind of a maybe desperation situation. But if we could add like, the biggest thing for Trez, if he works on his defense this year, his game's going to look even better. Because his defensive game was fine. It did get overshadowed by how great his offense was. Someone on the stream is saying, I would give Kawhi Will's personality.
I appreciate that.
I mean, that would, make it, that would make his game unbelievable. but adding some elite defense to Trez would make him, I mean, another contender for Sixth Man of the Year again.
Agreed.
And maybe even most improved player.
Agreed.
I don't think the most improved player voters even notice or care about defense, but it would matter for us.
Yeah. And he's, I mean, clearly his post game has evolved so much from last year. And this year, there's already sick clips of him, like, double spinning into dudes to finishing at the rim.
The Dirk fadeaway, man.
Great.
It's
I love
very
it.
Real.
You know who I wouldn't add anything to their game? Lou Will. He's already perfect.
He's perfect. What else do you need? Circling back to the free agency question before we wrap this up, someone brought up a name that I've seen floated around recently, Kenneth Faried.
I like
an
it.
Addition.
Actually, I don't, just because size-wise, I don't really see that.
Is it another? It's another in-betweener.
Yeah.
I like his attitude. So far, in terms of attitude guys, Noah and Faried seem like they would fit the best. Oh, yeah, he's 6.
He's smaller than Trez. Like, he's smaller than other dudes that we have.
That's
so
not going to do anything.
It doesn't really fit for us. He shoots the 3 at 30%, which, you know, that ain't bad. Solid finisher. I like Kenneth Faried a lot.
Good dude.
But yeah, I guess I don't really see the fit. I'm kind of surprised that the Rockets let him go.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing over there in Houston. Someone on this. Oh, what up, Matt Chonger? Dropping a fantastic gem as we close this podcast. House. Kenneth Faried, old Trez, as he likes to call him. I'm sure Kenneth loves when Matt Chonger calls him that. Anything else you want to get off? Any shavings you got to get off your chest or anything?
No, I think that's really all I got. Thank you everybody for sending questions.
Yeah, thanks for tuning into the live stream. You can listen, if you're listening to this, thanks for listening. Check us out on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We'll be back with another episode for you guys tomorrow. We're going to have a What Could Have Been Wednesday. Maybe things go differently in the Arrow universe. And I don't know, whatever else happens.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.